fighting between forces allied with the government of the Democratic Republic of the Congo and rebels in the eastern region of the country is claiming ever more civilian lives as this African nation continues to be consumed by violence almost a year after a peace agreement was signed. An estimated 150 people were killed in the North Kivu province town of Kiwanja in early November, despite the presence of a poorly staffed and equipped United Nations peacekeeping force nearby. Human Rights Watch is calling for the European Union to send a bridging force to eastern Congo to help UN peacekeepers stop further attacks on civilians. The UN Security Council authorized the deployment of more peacekeeping troops to the Congo in November, but it will likely take up to 4 months before reinforcements arrive. Many of the civilians killed in Kiwanja were executed by troops under the command of Laurent Nkunda's rebel force, the National Congress for the Defense of the People, or CNDP. Observers report that atrocities including rape, the forcible recruitment of child soldiers, and the destruction of refugee camps were committed by both the rebels and pro-government Mai Mai militias. The International Rescue Committee reported earlier this year that the conflict in Congo had killed an estimated 5.4 million people since 1998, many dying from disease and malnutrition related to the war. Between the Lines, Scott Harris spoke with Alison DeForge, senior advisor to the Africa Division at Human Rights Watch, who describes the violence in eastern Congo and the urgent action needed from the international community to stop the killing.
I think we need to begin by having a sense, first of all, of the overall situation in the Congo. A huge country, a very rich country, with not much left of infrastructure in terms of roads, communication, and so on. Hence, very difficult to govern. The Congo was racked by some 10 years of warfare, and in the period of time from 1998 until the present, about 5 million civilians have died. That's the largest civilian death toll since the Second World War, and I think something that certainly most Americans are not aware of. It was against that kind of backdrop that there was an enormous upsurge of hope 2 years ago when Joseph Kabila was elected president in elections that seemed to be not bad and took office. But since then, Kabila has proved rather incapable of pulling the picture together and has, as a result, left a great deal of weakness on the outer periphery, the outer fringes of the country. And so it's not too surprising, given the weakness at the center, that we see trouble once again in the east, on the outlying eastern region of Congo. Very, very rich area. Obviously, something lots of people would like to control, lots of countries would like to control. It has just about everything that any aspiring export dealer would like to have: gold, diamonds, copper, and then a whole bunch of things with strange names like coltan, tantalite, and so on, which are essential for cell phones, for example, and therefore are perhaps ounce for ounce more valuable than the things we're familiar with, like gold. So you've got a very, very rich prize, you've got a weak government at the center, and then on the periphery, you have an overlay of ethnic problems. Some of them seeped over the border from Rwanda next door, where there was a genocide in 1994. And as a result, we now have the development of a new rebel movement, which initially put itself forward as protecting the interests of the Tutsi minority of eastern Congo, but which now has aspirations to gobble up the whole thing, and which is saying Kabila is not the legitimate president, and which is threatening to try to move on and take even the national capital.
Alison, at this moment, I know that Human Rights Watch is calling for reinforcements for a beleaguered United Nations peacekeeping force there that is unable to protect civilians who are being attacked from all sides, from the rebels, Nkunda's rebels, as well as some pro-government forces, namely the Mai Mai militia.
And even the government army itself, let us say, to its disgrace. So those guys also deserve their measure of blame. Well, there is a very large UN peacekeeping force in the Congo, but given that it's such a huge country, these guys are stretched very thin. once Nkunda, the rebel leader, began to expand his territory very successfully and to attract new adherents to his movement, the main immediate prize of the conflict here is the town of Goma, which is the provincial capital for the province of North Kivu. And so Nkunda moved right up to the doors of Goma, and at that point paused, and the UN began to gather in their peacekeepers from various other parts of North Kivu and to say, hey, we better at least save Goma. And as they pulled in their peacekeepers, they left the hinterland, the areas more distant from Goma, unprotected. And so then when combat has taken place in those regions, civilians are left unprotected. The worst instance of that was at a town called Kiwanja, where initially the Mai Mai, the pro-government militia, but later, and much more extensively, the CNDP and Kunda's force engaged in a whole slew of human rights abuses, including the summary execution of particularly of young men, but also of women and children, rape, pillage, forced displacement of the population. At this point, there were about 100 peacekeepers in a barracks half a mile away, but they didn't come out because they felt that they couldn't deal with the situation, and as a result, the population suffered enormously. So what we at Human Rights Watch have been working very hard to achieve is, first of all, to raise a consciousness at the United Nations for the need strengthening those peacekeepers, increasing their numbers, but also increasing their equipment and their ability to move relatively rapidly, because it's in part these logistical questions which have hampered the performance of the peacekeepers. And at the same time, because we know from past experience that the UN moves very slowly, we know that it will take a number of months before those UN troops are actually on the ground. So in the interim, we've been appealing to European nations to provide a short-term bridging force in order to protect civilians in the meantime.
That was Alison DeForge, Senior Advisor to the Africa Division at Human Rights Watch. Contact the group by calling area code 212-290-4700 or visit their website at hrw.org.